God, grant us serenity to accept things we cannot change, courage to change things we can, and always, please, wisdom to know the difference. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. So an interesting event took place in the robing room this morning, just before 8 o'clock. Because it was cold, I decided to wear the green chasuble that Anne-Marie is wearing. And the green chasuble always designates that that is the person who is celebrating and the other person is the person who is preaching. So as I put the green chasuble on, Anne-Marie says to me, "But you're preaching today." And she was right. And it was a surprise. So Anne-Marie, with great chutzpah and wisdom and grace, preached at 8 o'clock. Thank you. It was a word to hear. But I thought, why should you lot be let off with an extemporary sermon? But of course I take courage, because in the gospel it says, "Do not make up your minds to prepare your defense in advance." So Jesus has ordained this extemporary sermon today. And who am I to argue? I did say to somebody after the 8 o'clock service, that is the best sermon I have ever preached. To which he said, "No, that's the best sermon you've never preached." But what a Sunday, after such a week, to stand before you all and dare to speak the word of God. As I climbed up the steps, I thought, one of the problems preaching today is that some may not be interested in discovering the word of God for them, but what's he saying really? How is he feeling? Friends, I do not believe it is my duty today to share with you my personal partisan political views. But I do believe that as a priest, pastor, and prophet in the Church of God, it is my call to try to share with you what I believe God is saying. And so what I intend to do, if you want to follow it, you can look at the gospel in your service leaflet, is to go through paragraph by paragraph to see what God is saying to us. To begin with, in our gospel, Jesus points to the great temple with all the beauty and the stones and the glory of its architecture. And he says that one day all of this will collapse. And I believe that one of the reasons that Jesus was saying that to his disciples was that he was preparing them for the very fragility of life, which is common to us all. The great hymn says, "All my hope on God is founded." This is what gives us courage. And whether you walk today to church with great thankfulness in your heart for Tuesday's result, or disappointment, or just plain confusion, one thing we all share in this place, around this table, all our hope on God is founded. Ultimately, sub specie aeternitatis, in the light of eternity, all else will collapse. But one thing is sure, God remains. God loves. God acts. Actually, that's three things, but it's three things of the one statement. Fragility. The only constant is change. We as a church should not be scared of any change. The next paragraph. They said, well, teacher, give us some idea about the signs to follow so that we can be clear on the right lines. And all he said was, well, beware that you're not led astray. Many will come and say, I am he. The time is near. We share with the disciples a hankering, a deep ache for certitude, for everything to be definitive, clear-cut. Especially if I can say, well, you definitely are wrong and I definitely am right. But such certitude is not given to us in this life. We are called to follow the light within us. We are called to work out the scripture given to us. We are called to listen to one another in community for guidance. And then we do the next right thing. The next paragraph. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. Jesus, after the resurrection, moves through the doors that have been shut. Why? Because of fear. He moves through those doors. He looks at his beloved disciples and he breathes upon them peace. And what he does then, he does now. Do we carry any fears in our hearts for whatever reason? Jesus moves through those doors, locked doors, heavy doors, thick doors, and breathes. And what we need to do is to breathe in that peace. I've told before, and I just hope you forget, the story of a friend of mine, Danish friend, that I knew in seminary in Oxford. Years ago. And she told me that she didn't use this word, terribly impressed at how Christian and scriptural England was. This is in the late 1970s. So I said, what do you mean? She said, well, everywhere I go, I see these great advertising boards, these billboards saying, take courage. She thought it was the prophet Haggai. I had to tell her that courage was the name of a very popular beer at the time. Take courage. The metaphysical moral type. Although, if you can, why not? On the day after the election, the set reading here was from the prophet Haggai. Three times in that short passage, the set passage for November the 9th contained this command: take courage, take courage, take courage. For the moment, I care not on what side of the political divide you are. But I do urge you, as Christian people, to walk upright with courage, looking ahead. The next paragraph. This is awful to hear and to read. nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, states against states, communities against communities, erstwhile Facebook friends against current Facebook friends. It is not political. It is just realistic to accept that we are a divided community. Even here. No, actually, why do I say even here? As here. Jim Wallace, the director of Sojourners, a Christian liberal organization, recently wrote this week that what has happened in this election is the revelation, the unveiling, the revealing of what divisions are really present. And no one candidate, no one party can be somehow blamed solely for revealing what is already present. So it is our task, in the name of the one who unifies, who makes whole, to work for unity as much as possible lies within us. And then finally, well, almost finally, we're promised to be given words and wisdom. Friends, as Christians, we know the power of the word to heal, to edify, to construct, but also the power of the word to destroy, to divide. We should be sensitive in what we speak and the way we speak. In what we write and the way we write. For the promise is, I will give you words and wisdom. And finally, on the day after the election, one or two people jested with me that given my British citizenship, maybe I would be returning to England. I said no. In 2011, I, with Wendy, became an American citizen. I was then and am now proud to be an American citizen. And I wish, with God's help, with the community of the church, to be part of today and part of tomorrow that will honor God and seek the good of all people. Amen.